We continue on in the fruits of the Spirit, and I hope as a result of this series we'll have memorized these two verses, but together let's recite Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for the privilege of being in your house, for this opportunity to open your word, to encourage one another, to be a part of the great deeds that you are doing all around the world, Lord. Thank you that we don't have to be stuck in our own small stories, but we get to be a part of the epic story, the story of Christian faith spreading over the face of this earth through the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, as we come to your word, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So again, we continue on in our fall series, The Fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. You'll remember we started with the first fruit, which is the most essential of all the fruits, without which none of the others follow, is, of course, love. Remember, biblical love, agape love, is not a feeling per se. It's willing the good of another person, right? Without getting any kickback in return, right? What is Jesus's great commandment, the greatest of all commandments? You'll love the Lord your God with how much of you? With all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength. And you will love your neighbor just as you love yourself. You know that neighbor. You don't have to like them, but you've got to love them. Second fruit of the Spirit is joy, and we can remain joyful in life while not necessarily being happy in the present moment. How can this be? Because biblical joy is a state of calm delight. It's built on the solid pillars we talked about previously. Things like humility, humor, forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, and generosity. So a lot of these things, we look at them separately, and that can be helpful, but in the end, they sort of influence one another. The third fruit, of course, is peace, right? And peace is not simply, as the world says, an absence of war. It's the state of well-being, wholesome well-being and rest, right? You probably know the biblical Old Testament word, shalom. And this can only be found in Jesus. And we often talk about this during the Christmas time because one of Jesus's many epitaphs or titles is the Prince of peace. And so last week we looked at the fourth fruit of the Spirit. NIV says forbearance. Traditionally it's translated as patience, right? As you are schooled in patience and forbearance, you begin to develop something that is very precious in this life, and that's called resilience, right? And so this keeps us from having hot heads and short fuses. God's word reminds us, and we'll be picking up on this again, that God is patient and forbearing with us. So this morning we come to the fifth fruit, kindness. How do we develop a biblical kindness? Again, in the last few years, especially during and then post-pandemic, people have been incredibly unkind. And I don't just mean the YouTube videos of people fighting in Walmart over toilet paper, though that's classic, right? People have been experts in becoming unkind or just unhelpful. You know, some things that you used to be able to do in this world, you can't do anymore. You know, you fill in the blank. But once again, our earth has become unbelievably wicked and unkind. And so one night, a man named Noah received or dreamed a terrifying dream. And he dreamed that our merciful and kind Lord came to him and said, Noah, just like your predecessor from ancient times, I'm giving you 6 months to build an ark. People have been cruel. They've been unkind. I'm going to cleanse this world with another flood. 6 months came and went, and the Lord discovered that Noah had barely begun building the ark, let alone getting all the animals on board. Noah, the Lord roared, I'm about to start the rain. Where's the ark? Lord, forgive me, cried Noah, but things have changed since the earlier Noah's time. I found out I needed a building permit. And I've been arguing with the inspector. He says I need a sprinkler system. The neighbors sued me for height limitations, and I had to go to the development appeal board for a decision. Getting wood, Lord, has been a problem because there's a ban on cutting local lumber around here in order to save the spotted owl. Now, I told the environmentalists I needed the wood in order to save the owls from drowning, and they said, no, they didn't believe me. It was a no-go. And when I started gathering the animals, PETA sued me and said the space was too small and it was cruel and inhumane to put animals in this big boat. Immigration, naturalization, been checking out the residential status of most of the people who want to work on the ARC project. The trade union said I couldn't employ my sons and insist that I only hire union workers with ARC building experience. So forgive me, Lord, but it will take me at least 10 years to build this ARC from start to finish. And much to Noah's surprise, the skies cleared and the sun began to shine. Beautiful rainbows stretched across the sky, and Noah looked up and towards the Lord, and in amazement he said, "Oh Lord, does this mean you aren't going to destroy this cruel and incredibly unkind world?" And the Lord replied, "No, the government has already beat me to it. Try and build an ark today." Where do we go for kindness? We need to shine a Christian light on this incredibly unkind world. Well, again, going to the Bible, what does the Bible has to say about this elusive thing called kindness? And I really enjoy the teaching videos of the young guys at the Bible Project. Thought that was really helpful. And piggybacking on that a little bit as well. Bible talks quite a bit about kindness. At least 50 or more times in the scriptures, the Old Testament Hebrew, which is a part of that offering video, that the word translated in the Old Testament for kindness is actually much more involved. Chesed is the word. It can mean mercy. It can mean love and kindness. So usually in the English, we translate it, God is merciful and filled with loving kindness. Right? And what's interesting is that whenever this word is used in the Old Testament, it tells us something about the essential nature of God himself, right? The Lord is merciful. He does not treat people the way their sins deserve. He remains loving and very kind to those who are made in his express image. And so if we, as the followers of Jesus, are to reflect the heart of God, right, then our lives must be characterized as merciful, as loving, and immensely kind. New Testament Greek for kindness, Christotes, means not only kindness, but actually it's synonymous for the word for generous, as I mentioned during the announcement. How can you really separate kindness from generosity? It's kind of hard, actually. And New Testament Greek doesn't even try, right? Pretty hard to do. They go hand in hand. And so as I was thinking about this idea of Christian or biblical kindness, what does that mean? It means a merciful and loving kindness that's generous to its core. And that's what I just loved about our OCC chili feed and auction, outside of the smack talk about the chili and all that kind of stuff, which was sort of fun anyway. But people were just walking in. They wanted, what's going on in there? And people never been in this building got chili and bid on items and just, that's why we're downtown. We want to be open-handed in all we do. You know, thinking about kindness this week, I found it really helpful. I think Christian kindness is more practical than I imagine. But we know by experience, and again, during and post-pandemic, that when shopping, unkind people not only harm themselves, but others as well. The videos on YouTube are legion. Kind of like the time when a man walked into a pawn shop and saw a brass statue of a cat. So he asked the shopkeeper, "How much for that brass statue of the cat?" I'm winding up. This sounds like a Norm MacDonald thing. The shopkeeper looked intently at the man and said, $20 for the brass cat, but $2,000 for the story. No, the auction is over. I'm still talking money. The man was impatient. He was unkind. He said, just give me the statue and you can keep your stupid story. I got to go. Well, no sooner than the man had left the shop than he heard some strange meows behind him, only to find a dozen cats following him. Unnerved, the guy began to walk faster and faster, but the number of meows only increased and kept getting louder and louder. Soon there were 100 crazed cats pursuing him, and terrified, the man began to sprint toward the city docks, and by the time he got to the docks, there was a veritable crowder of cats. It's not a herd, it's a crowder of cats. Look it up. Beyond measure, beyond counting, chasing him down, not knowing what to do, he hurled the statue of the brass cat into the water, and well, wonder of all wonders, following the brass statue, all the cats jumped into the river and died. Out of breath, the man returned to the pawn shop, and the shopkeeper was very amused by this time, said, so you're back to hear the story. But like I told you, it's going to cost you $2,000. But much to the shopkeeper's surprise, this rude and very unkind man said, you can keep your stupid story. I just have one question for you. Do you have a brass statue of a lawyer? I hope there's no lawyers here this morning. Where do we go when we lack kindness in our lives, if not to Jesus Christ himself? Right? Couldn't we easily say that the Bible is filled with countless examples of the kindness of God? And if real Christian love isn't about feelings, but rather willing the good of another person without expecting anything in return, it will be also clear to us that it will be impossible for us to grow in kindness if we make life all about ourselves. Right? Have you ever noticed kind people are open-handed and generous? People who are selfish and impatient are not kind. It just sort of goes hand in hand, right? Paul says earlier, and he's talking about these things in his different letters in different ways. You know the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. Read at almost any and every wedding, right? Great chapter on love. He said, love is patient. Secondly, love is what? Kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Just sharing that with the married people today, right? Love keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere, because love does what? It never fails, Christian love. What a kind and generous picture of God's love for us, as well as the love that we are to demonstrate to others and live out. Now, some of you know that our Thursday Night Life group has been studying Mother Teresa's book. It's a collection of her teachings and sayings entitled No Greater Love. Perfect title. And in it, I have been struck, and others have been struck, by her radical commitment to love as kindness and generosity. One of the things that Mother Teresa would never, ever tolerate were unkind words and actions between people. She shut it down hard, right? Especially as she was ministering to the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, India. She writes this. She said, be kind. Be very, very kind to the suffering poor. We little realize what they go through, and the most difficult part in life is not being wanted as a person. We'll never know how much good just a simple smile can do. You know, we tell God, we tell people how kind and forgiving and understanding God is, but are we living proof? Are we living proof of that truth? Can they really see this kindness, this understanding in us? Convicting? I think so. Turns out, Paul places kindness as the fifth fruit of the Spirit for a really good reason. Because without biblical love, without biblical joy, without a biblical peace, right? Without biblical patience and forbearance, there can be no biblical growth or personal growth in this area of kindness and generosity. Remember this, the loveless, the joyless, the impatient, and the unkind individuals can actually steal a portion of your well-being and your growth if you allow it, right? If we aren't living out our lives in kind generosity as the followers of Jesus. Sometimes I like to say everybody has their place in God's choir, right? But to miss your place or try to do something that you aren't called to do can actually be unkind to yourself, especially to others. And because our God is merciful and filled with loving kindness for his people, when in heaven, we will find that the Lord is immensely kind, and we will find everything in order and in its right place. Because there in heaven, you know what it's going to be kind of like? The French will be the cooks. The Germans will be the engineers. The British will be the policemen. The Italians will be the lovers, and the Swiss will run everything. Amen. But in hell, oh, perish the thought. For those who have been cruel and unkind and godless, they will find that their own unkindness rebounds upon them in a hard sort of way. This is Dante's Inferno, if you've ever read it. In hell, the Germans will be the policemen. You ever heard of Nazis? The British will be the cooks. Ooh. The Swiss will be the lovers. The French will be the engineers. And the Italians will run everything. No. No kind generosity will be found in hell, I assure you. And that's biblical. Do you want more kindness in your life this fall season? It's really simple. The more you focus your life and your attention on the Lord Jesus, who's immensely kind, you will experience more of his loving kindness, and you will be a conduit for God's loving kindness. The less you focus on Jesus and on other stuff, the less of his loving kindness you will experience. You have a choice. The choice is yours. Kindness is not such a tricky or a slippery thing after all. So a few takeaway points this morning. Maybe this will be helpful in recovering a biblical kindness in our lives as we continue this fall. I found these takeaway points helpful for me. First of all, biblical kindness in the Old Testament reminds us of the essential nature of our God, that God is merciful, that he is filled with loving kindness toward us. Second of all, biblical kindness in the New Testament is almost always linked with generosity. Ask yourself this question as you leave today. Would other people characterize you as a person of kind generosity? Whatever that may look like. And third, finally, biblical kindness is demonstrated in the life of Mother Teresa, who asks some really penetrating questions. We tell people how kind, forgiving, and understanding God is, but are we living proof of that? Are we living proof? Can people really see this kindness in us and understand this and want this? You know, throughout Paul's letters, he talks about these things, same things in different ways. Paul reminds us, and if it's been a while since you've read 1 Corinthians 13 and prayed through it, I encourage you to do it. He starts it off by saying, love is patient, and after it is patient, love is what? Kind. It is kind, the kindness of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for these fruits of the Spirit. And these are really markers Christian growth and discipleship. It's not just so how many church services we've been to or small groups or serving the poor. All of that's good and right, and we encourage it. But are we growing in the fruits of the Spirit is the question. We pray, Lord, that we would become a more kindly people, a more open people to the needs of those around us, which are many. May they see this kindness, this loving and merciful kindness in our lives, and may others want that too. And so we give you thanks for this fifth fruit of the Spirit. May we grow in kindness through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray all this always and only in Jesus' name, saying, amen.